8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hi guys, it's time for podcast number 32, and we're really excited about this one because we have a guest with us from Hollywood, California. His name is Derek Gates.
Woohoo!
So let's just get into it.
Let's go. The place I spoke, they maxed out and couldn't take any more people in.
Yeah, that was awesome. That was awesome. And Ben Lin's church is just, it's so LA, you know, just in the basement of a Korean restaurant. And
yeah, I loved it.
It's funny.
They were pretty passionate people.
Oh yeah, definitely, definitely, definitely. Their group actually is usually only, they only have about 30 people, but when they bring in a special speaker, it almost every time they pack that place out. He's kind of known for bringing in, you know, doing the conference thing, you know, and people come out to him for sure.
Yeah, some people were so desperate wanting to come, they actually waited in the parking lot the entire time.
And then I spoke
with them afterwards. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's really one of the weird things about the place is it's so packed. It's so packed that it's hard to pray for people in there.
Yeah, there's no room.
there's no room for ministry area or anything. I remember I went. Todd Bentley was there when I was in town once, and I guess it was probably 7 or 8 months ago. I guess it wasn't that long ago, and it was so packed that he still prayed for everybody, but I don't know how it happened. I mean, I people just laying on top of each other.
I was gonna say they were probably falling on top of each other.
I generally don't do it like everyone else. Like God won't let me do personal ministry, but I can do a corporate impartation.
Right, that's good.
You know, the lightning power of God will take care of it no matter what it is. And I just had to loose it into the whole room for people to get it because there was no standing room. They were sitting on the floor. And just because of the subject matter, people want to know the more of God and they want to know what time it is.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. We've been seeing it a lot across the United States. You know, people are... You know, they're hungry. You know, people are tired of the, you know, kind of the status quo.
Yes.
Christianity in a box, and they're ready for something more. You know, people are, they're ready to dive off into the deep end and burn their boat, you know, They're going to stay there.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, they don't want any more normal.
Nope.
Yeah, more normal. Yeah. Who wants normal? I said this weekend, I said, you know, I want to go to where everybody else says is crazy, and I want to see what's on the other side of that.
Yeah.
I like that.
I love our new car magnet that says roll up your rapture rug and rule. That pretty much makes a statement for today.
Yeah.
So good. So good.
We were never meant to be normal people.
Right. Yeah. We're not normal. We're supernatural beings. You know?
We are supernatural beings.
And we just, for whatever reason, the religious spirits keep continuing to just basically preach people back into the box. You know, you step out of the box and they preach you right back into the box by, you know, guilt and condemnation and, you know, and all these different things. And, you know, and I'm a guy, I believe in order and structure and some things like that too, but not at the expense of telling the Holy Spirit, you know, what he can do and what he can't do.
Yeah.
I know Kat doesn't get on Facebook too much, Derek, but I know a few days ago you did something that was quite radical. You started saying about certain ministers and people, and if they were friends with them, to unfriend you. And you took somebody out of the film that you're just about to release. I thought that was like a really radical thing to do, but it got us talking a little bit here about this whole thing about, you know, when people are doing things wrong and they're just doing it and still collecting lots of money from people And could you share a little bit about that? Because you're one of the few people to actually do that.
So right up front, like I'm not a name. I don't do the name thing. Yeah. You know, like some guys will get on and they'll blast people's names, and I don't think anything good comes of that. Because ultimately, Jesus loves these people.
Yeah.
So I should love these people. And so what I'm praying for is restoration, you know, cause one of the things I believe first of all, we throw around names like false prophet and false teachers and, you know, false apostles and all this stuff. We throw them around pretty, you know, dangerously, you know? You know, I see people mislabeled as those things all the time. And a lot of times what happens is they call them a false whatever just because they didn't get the kind of response that they wanted out of their, you know, from them, you know, and that's not it. So I'm real careful with that kind of thing, but, you know, but there are true, you know, false people out there, you know, it's in the Bible and we see it in today.
The strange thing is this, the ones who are really the true are the ones who get blasted publicly and labeled wrong. The ones who are leading people into absolute deception and living an abomination, and I don't mind saying it because God has me say it, and I will probably be doing it face-to-face one day because there is such a thing as accountability, especially as a leader, that God in this day is going to hold people to. So I don't have a problem. Yeah, I believe in restoration too, but I do not believe you should get away with openly sinning, bragging about it, and saying this is okay because you're leading people into a lie to live that lie.
Right.
And in this time right now, God's not going to put up with it.
No, not at all. And, you know, the particular situation with what I was talking about on that particular night was, you know, there's a prophet. He's not a prophet, but he says he's a prophet. And, you know, basically he'll give you a prophetic word if you give X amount of dollars, you know, and the more money you give, the better the word is, you know, he says this, he says, God's going to give you a better word if you give $1,000, you know, and this guy's, you know, he's living in mansions and all this stuff. Well, he had, you know, a couple months ago, he had out, it came out, three different movies that he had made with a total of 9 women.
Mm-hmm.
They were sexual movies, you know, pornographic movies.
Yeah, that information that stuff comes right from hell. It doesn't come from heaven. And you cannot, in this day, you aren't going to last long, so you'll be removed from the earth, God said. So he's just as adamant about it now. Because when he starts letting us rule in authority and dominion and levels we never have before, he's not letting those kind of people have any power. And
no,
not
and
only
and
won't let you have
them
have power.
Them are the people that are also in deception. That's, you know.
I'm talking about the people leading.
God wants to lead those people out of Egypt.
Yeah, the people leading the people into living a lie that it's okay to freely sin and your gift qualifies you to be able to sin like that. And yet there's nowhere in the Bible it says that. You are held to a double accountability as someone who is a leader in the body of Christ, and because he's not going to let people fake it and say that's what they are, he's just not going to let them get away with it. And he actually said to me face to face, I will take them off the earth if I have to, if they don't want to repent and they don't want to stop sharing lies with people and thinking that their gift allows them to have that. God never said you'll know them by their gift. He said you'll know them by their fruit.
If their fruit is
rotten, they should not listen to them. They shouldn't even have them in their presence. Those people really don't deserve to have a place to. And the thing is, your gift is always going to be with you. Your gift will operate whether it operates for the devil or operates for God. He gave that gift to you. He's not going to take it away. So it can either represent evil or it could represent righteousness. And more so in this day than ever before, he wants us because he wants the people to rule and have dominion, true dominion. They can't have sin in their life. They cannot have active sin in their life and think he's going to let them do that. So
that's good. That's really good. You know, I encountered when I started doing this movie, the first one, the one's getting ready to come out, you know, I didn't, you know, a lot of these people that wanted to be in the movie, and I didn't really know them. I was going off of the opinions of other people, you know, recommendations and things like that. And, you know, as you're doing it, you know, you can't ever keep everybody happy, by the way. Everybody's going to say something about somebody.
You're right.
And, but there, you know, one particular, you know, person I did have to cut out of the movie because I just, even though I feel like the guy has gifting, like you said, his gifting is there, his character is not.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure, you know, the thing was, I wasn't coming from a religious point of view. I mean, it's like I really tossed it around. I prayed about it. I sought the Lord on it for months, not just like a moment, months. And the Lord said, no, 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 no. And so I had to take him out of the movie, and it caused a big stir. And the thing is, I love this guy. I believe the Lord loves this guy, but he's got to repent. And I think you're right. I think God isn't, he's not going to tolerate this stuff, and he is going to take people out.
He is definitely going to take people out, because this is a season to be called holiness, which to some people is not a good word. Is that weird? I mean, it should be the most exciting word to not just talk about, but actually live, because it makes you so dangerous against hell. People don't see that they're giving themselves into the enemy's camp, which waters down their authority. Jesus said he gives us power over all the power of the enemy. But that doesn't mean we can play with the enemy and have authority over them. And I think it's more not so being sin conscious, but you need to be holy conscious.
That's right.
If you're holy conscious, it's not even going to be in your vocabulary. It's not even in any part of me to desire that. And you cannot strike out and rule over the enemy in the spirit realm if you're playing in his camp. And that's the way God has me put it, that he's going to give high levels, even without measure, to operate for him. When you walk in holiness, he can trust you with anything.
It's so good. You know, I tell people have me, you know, I travel full time. I think we were only home less than 50 days last year on the road.
And, yeah, I understand that.
And people would never guess that people think I'm a holiness preacher. I mean, that you look at me, I'm tattooed from my, you know, my fingers up to my neck. And but I believe what holiness, you know, we've forgotten what true holiness, because we're not talking holiness like the creepy controlling holiness. You got to wear a, you know, a dress down to your ankles and your hair in a bun.
No,
you know,
it's what's inside. It is totally what is inside.
When God asks you to sacrifice something in your life, you say, yes, Lord, if that's what it means to be closer to you, then I'm giving it up.
Yeah, sacrifice.
You know? And when I started to hear God on that level of, he's like, look, Derek, I love you, and I want to be closer to you. Are you willing to give this up to be closer to me? Mm-hmm. And every time you do that, you become closer to him, and that's holiness. You know, you're closer to the throne. You're closer to his lap. You're closer, you know. And that's what these guys don't want. They don't want to give up, and women, not just men, men and women that are mm-hmm. that are walking in that error.
Yeah.
They don't want to give those things up. God's been trying to tell them for years. Because I think a lot of these guys started out maybe on the right foot.
Yeah, they probably did.
But as God said, will you give this up? They said no. And then they don't hear God as well. And then
you're right about that last part.
More than they hear God.
It does interfere with your hearing. Anytime you have anything in your life that God wants out, or things that you should not be a part of, it will absolutely interfere with you hearing him. And when you begin, and this is the thing I've known the Holy Spirit show me, that many people think surrender is a form of control.
Yeah.
It's control with Satan, but it's surrender when you go to God. Either way, you're given something somewhere. You're going to give it to somebody. And when you give things to the devil, you're allowing him to control. When you surrender, give them to God, he gives you more of him. So that's surrender. That's to lay down your life and find it in Christ thing. That's surrender. That isn't so he can control you. He has full ability to operate through you and demonstrate in powerful ways through you, because you can be trusted with holy things. If you're gonna run after holy, which is the Holy One, you know, and live your life that way, then God's gonna trust you with things that are powerful. And the enemy will only strip and take away and lie to you. He'll bait you and show you how powerful you are. And God won't, and this is what he'll say to these people, God won't say anything because you qualify to be able to sin. You're so far above everyone else. But that is the same lie he gave Adam and Eve in the garden. That's the same lie Satan gave the angels in heaven who followed him. And people don't even see it that way. I present it that way. They have to know the truth. The truth makes you free. Love is wonderful, but part of true love, perfect love, is also the truth.
That's right. That's right. You know, I talk about, the agape love. Agape love is the love that will stand up for you, but it also stand up to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that perfect love, the truth of God, is he loves you so much that he refuses to let you stay in your sin. He refuses to let you stay in that moment.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, people, you know, there a lot of places are into this, Jesus is only, he only looks at you through the lens of love, but their idea of what that love looks like is distorted because,
it is.
You know, your love, you know, as a parent for my children is the love that says, no, I'm not going to let you touch that hot stove again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not going to do that. You're not going to run in the road. You're not going to do this. And it might seem stern and it might seem mean, but it's because he loves us so much that he wants to protect us.
Yeah.
You know? And, that whole surrender thing, that's good. And it's hard for people to surrender. But once you get there, once you live that, you understand how it's almost like this, Kat. It's almost like, how did I ever not live this way before?
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, it's so
yeah, good. And you look back at your life and you actually see it differently. And you're like, wow, I probably needed more help than I thought I did.
Right.
I just got to a point in my life where I absolutely would not give the enemy anything. And people need to see it that way too. It's not just what you give to God. It's what are you giving to the enemy all the time? You don't realize you hold yourself back from God. It isn't necessarily God keeping you from things. It's you yourself that do that. And but people think I have a free will. They keep going back to the whole free will thing. Yeah, you have a free will to choose to run after God, be a part of what he's doing, rule and reign as a king in the spirit realm, or do nothing, sit on the corner, watch it all go by, and play in the enemy's camp, and you wonder why you're getting beat up. You know, why am I getting beat up all the time? You know, why do I get attacked? You know, why can't I do anything? It's all about the I.
That's good. That's
it's
good.
Not about him, right? We're supposed to make it about him.
So can I ask you guys what you do on a daily basis to live like that? Because it sounds like you both are walking in that a lot. I mean, how does that look each day for you two?
Every day when I wake up, the first thing I mention and talk to is God, is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I go to them every single day. That doesn't mean I walk into their presence in the throne room and I'm there with them, but it's just like I am because of my relationship. It's my relationship with them I work on 24/7. I don't just think about it on Sunday. Most people think of God on Sunday. All the rest of their life, it's either in tatters or they're running after the wrong thing or they don't know how to keep the enemy away, and yet we're supposed to make him run from us. He will run from us. The more God we have, the more terrified hell becomes of us. And
right.
Even says the devil will flee from us. But there's things put out there, guidelines to follow if you put yourself under the hand of God. And that resist the devil thing isn't just standing there in the corner going, no, I'm not going to thank you. It's you attacking him.
Yep.
You are attacking him with your life, taking authority over him every single day, commanding the army to bash and crush every plan of the enemy that's anywhere around you. And it's not just about you. It's anything that's going on, you know, that God wants dealt with. We get to execute the government of God on this earth. That's one of our rights as a believer and a follower, not a fan, but a follower of Jesus Christ.
That's so good. Yeah, you know, I've been talking a lot lately about, you know, declarations, decreeing and declaring that with our voice comes policy-making power.
Yes.
That we can make policy over our own life, and once we make that policy, we decree that policy, now it is law, it is written, it's literally made law in the heavenlies.
Yeah.
And so when I get up every day, that's what I do. I decree and I declare. I make policy. And whatever it is I need in my life, whatever it is I need to walk through, whatever, you know, I think might be coming my way, I just declare and decree and I make policy against that. Says no, you know, and because I believe this whole being on defensive thing with the enemy is what kills people.
Yeah,
I refuse to be on the defense. I am on the offense, you know. Yeah. I'm going to take the battle to the front line every day of my life. And so how I walk in that is I understand, for me, I believe that this whole idea of you just get baptized in the Holy Ghost one time and you're done. I get baptized every day in the Holy Spirit. You know, I'm like, Lord, rebaptize me today. I need fresh fire. I need fresh wind. I need fresh oil. I need fresh this. And it gives me that power, that energy, the resources of heaven to take the battle to him. And when you do that, you hardly ever see him because he flees. You know?
You're right. He does flee. He literally does flee. Being a seer, he literally does flee. Not just him, but all those that are with him.
It's because they don't
want
the backlash.
You know why? Your presence becomes such a fiery thing. Your very being becomes like an inferno. The more of God and his plans that you are saying yes to, and then you actually walk them out. And this is the thing with God. He's not a man. He's not always going to do it man's way. And some people seem to think, if it doesn't happen right away, it wasn't God. You know, you missed it. I'm not doing this no more. This is just too much. And you can't be that way. You have to be so surrendered to him that it doesn't matter how long it takes. When he shows you something and you say, I receive that and I believe it, you have to walk it like it's already happening. And one day you literally will step into it. You will literally at one point step into that authority and your faith will begin to explode until nothing seems impossible to you. And I know I've had a long-term relationship with God, but you know, I had to keep that. I had to choose every day to not just keep what I have, but go after more. And the declaration thing, you have got it right on. Every day, I actually will ask for and receive. I know people go, well, I want protection, you know, I want help, you know, I need money. You need to go way beyond that. You can say, I ask for and receive sound wisdom and supernatural discernment. I receive your life, your love, your power. You can ask for those things and he will download them into your life, but then he actually expects you to use them. And that's another way you can grow in him. It says, whatever you declare and decree shall be established unto you. You know, whatsoever you ask for, and don't doubt in your heart, you're going to have it. And he can do more for people who are running after those things for his plans. I tell people the biggest thing in people's life that needs to change is that it's nice to say you want his will, but do you want it his way? Those are two different things.
You can want his will,
but you do it your way all the time. It's just not going to work.
Right.
It's not going to work. He wants you to walk in his ways and ask for his will. And you know what happens when you do that? He then gives you his thoughts.
You can't ask for God's thoughts.
You get them by walking in his way and wanting his will. Then he voluntarily gives them to you. So there's always more than you ever dreamed of. But you're right. The pursuit should be for him.
Yeah, absolutely. And what you said about the, receiving it, walking it out, like it's already happened. You know, like, so when I decree something, I declare it. It doesn't matter if I decree and declare, and then I go, oh my God, where is he at? You know, or I don't see it in the natural, or I just don't see it happening, or you know, whatever it is, I decree, I declare, and then I act upon it like it's already happened.
Yeah.
I don't care what it looks like in the natural. I don't care
if
the bank account shows a negative number. I'm gonna live like it shows $1 million.
Yes.
You know, I don't care whether or not, you know, my ankle still hurts from where I sprained it. I'm gonna walk on it like it's not sprained. Whatever it is, you know, you decree, declare, and then you act upon it. Because if you don't act upon it, then you're just saying, oh, I really don't believe it.
Yeah, you have to have. It's the witness to yourself. It's not like we're trying to convince God. He already knows we have it in us. We're supposed to speak to our own body. That's what I do. And I'm telling you, he doesn't wave some little thing over me. And when something comes against me, I speak to it myself.
That's right.
My own words over my own body will begin to work in me because God is in me. And I know that. I know it's him in me. but you can't always just keep going by what you see. Is that correct?
Yep.
You have to go by what you have trusted and what you have believed God for. That's when it begins to come.
Right. Yep. And then you see, yeah, that's when it manifests, is when you walk it out. That's so good. That's good.
I was going to ask you, Derek, because I noticed that on your Facebook, you recently relocated to the Hollywood area.
Right.
Because that's one of your, sometimes I call it, what's on the scroll of people's life or whatever, but it seems like you're called there. And
yeah, it's funny because when I was young, in high school, I was the theater, the Friends of Club president, and I was in theater, and I did all these different things, and won, international awards as a teenager for drama.
Okay.
Everybody always thought I'd end up in Hollywood, my life took a different route, and I actually became a drug dealer and worked for the cartel in Mexico and just crazy stuff, and then I had I OD'd and had my life taken from me and met Jesus and came back. I just never, that life just seemed so far away. Like I just took a different route. But God is the God of the amazing. And I never thought, it just didn't, literally when God spoke to me, I was speaking at the Hollywood House of Prayer last May. He said, I'm bringing you to California to assassinate the mimicking counterfeit spirit and to usher in a spirit of authenticity. And I just thought, oh my God, what does that mean? It's like, oh my gosh. And so for 9 months, it was funny because it was 9 months when we made the call to go, he birthed this into me. It was like he impregnated me with a vision, with his voice, with a call, and it just grew inside of us with my wife and I, and we just processed it. And here we are now in Hollywood, people are like, well, how are you gonna impact Hollywood? And I said, I don't know. I don't have to do it. If God reveals, he's gonna deal. And so we just left where I'm actually in South Padre. This is where my editor for the movie lives, but we were just there for 8 weeks, and within 8 weeks we were doing meetings where Hollywood actors and editors and directors and set people and people from NBC and CBS and all
the
these different...
The movie industry. Yeah, the movie industry, yeah.
Yeah, they're all coming to the meetings, and God had told me, he said, look, the counterfeit spirit is the entertainment and media mountain, and you're coming to assassinate that... the it's basically showed me... Remember that game when you were kids called King of the Mountain?
Yes.
And right now there's a principality that's on top of those mountains.
Yeah.
And we are dethroning them. That's what we're doing. We're dethroning them, and Jesus is taking those mountains back. And I know I'm not the only one. I'm not an elitist type of guy. I try to stay away from spiritual pride. I believe many people are going to be doing it, but he has us there doing it.
Hey Derek, what do you think about the thought of you and Kat doing a meeting in one of those Hollywood churches? That's just something hit my spirit.
yeah. Anytime, it's amazing just in a short time. Because the thing is, and Kat knows this, everybody knows this, people that are lost are hungry for something that's real.
Yes, they are.
And people in Hollywood have been lied to. They know everything is just, what do they call it, a house of cards, It's just like any minute there's going to be a wind that comes through and blows it over.
Yeah.
Everybody that's in Hollywood knows that they better take advantage of their 3 seconds of fame.
Their moment, that's right.
Because
yeah.
It's all built on a lie.
Yeah.
And 90%...
Truth, man, they will grab that truth and run with it.
90% of the actors and actresses all grew up with praying grandmas. So they know deep down inside that there's something more.
Well, they know what's fake and they know what's real.
Yeah.
You're right. And they will run after the real. And we're in a 2-year season of God taking Hollywood. Literally, he's targeted for, it was last year and this year, he's targeting with a fierceness he's not displayed before, that all of those gifts are his. He put those gifts in people. He always was a storyteller himself. He is a show person himself. He loves a good show.
Yep.
And so does his son. His son also was a showman, and that's why he had me declare back in 2016, let the show begin, because it's going to be flipped over on Satan, and God is going to be able to use the gifts of those people in Hollywood. He's taking Hollywood for himself, and in major ways. And I spoke to the movie industry probably for about 5 years. I got to just soak them and saturate them and all this stuff. Tell them this is what God is doing. You better get ready for it. And I even spoke to some of the producers and directors. If you don't start changing what you're going to put in your movies, you're going to have bombs. You're going to lose millions of dollars, because God is turning the morality of this whole country towards him. And what they begin to desire will not be the evil, the pathetic wickedness and hate and extreme violence, graphic violence. That stuff is going to lose so much money. If you don't start tweaking your movies and taking some of the profanity out and the sexuality out, you're not going to have anything, because God's going to touch in a moment the hearts of the people of this country, which he did actually in 2016 when Trump won. He turned the map red. That wasn't just for the Republican Party or just for Trump. It was for his own purposes of what he's doing in America. And Hollywood is a major point. I will have a home in Hollywood. I've known for some time I would live there part-time because of being involved in the movies themselves, writing them and producing them. Right. And the truth about the spirit realm mainly, that God said is going to so shock and stun people, the unseen that's been around them, including himself, that he's going to put a hunger in them for him. And so, yeah, you're a major part of that he is putting there. He needs people set in place during a strategic time of taking something. You're going to see the darkness get so stirred up and things will start coming up, but that's God exposing it. But then he's going to reveal what he has put there. And those seven angels for the city of angels have already poured out vials about 3 years ago over all of that whole area for God to take it. So major, major things are going to start happening there. Well, so you're going to be in a hot place for God.
Yeah, amen. Amen. And you know, and you can feel the shaking happening. You know, mm-hmm. It's like, because I believe it's not a physical thing, but it is a physical thing, because anything that happens in the spiritual, it'll manifest in the physical.
Yes, it will.
And we're there, and you can literally feel the rumblings of the Spirit of God there. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not naive. I know that people have plowed the ground for years. There have been people that have plowed the ground for years.
Yes,
you know,
they have.
I don't think that I'm this guy. I'm not the guy on the horse running in, you know, saving the day. People have plowed the ground for years there, but it's time to see that manifest. It's time to bring it to reality. We all will
enjoy great reward from doing that, because you're right, it's the generations who went before us that plowed and even laid a foundation. But we have to choose to walk on that foundation to go to higher places. And so they're watching from heaven, and they're celebrating that in this time, God is going to make major changes that they all played a part in. We wouldn't even be here doing this if it wasn't for them.
Amen. Amen. And something interesting is June 26th, we just actually, right before this phone call, we secured the date, June 26th. We're doing an all-night prayer vigil for Hollywood in the Bonnie Bray House, where you know, every spirit-filled Christian, you know, charismatic church was birthed in that Bonnie Bray House.
Mm-hmm.
They're opening up for us. We're gonna live stream it to the world.
That's awesome.
But 15 people are gonna sit in there all night long, right where, you know, William Seymour was, and we're gonna pray for Hollywood and for the chains to continue to break. It's gonna be amazing.
Yeah, you know where he came from in Kansas, all that happened in Kansas.
Yeah, Topeka, yeah.
That was taken there to,
you know,
was
I'm
taken
from
there. That's why Azusa
from
Street
Kansas,
is there.
LA. I'm from rural Kansas. I'm just like an hour from Topeka is where I'm from.
Well, where all that poured out, I have been there, and that portal is still open. And not only that, God is going to do something very major. He calls it the epicenter of America. Which is like a Kansas, it's a region like part Kansas, part Missouri area that so much was birthed from there first that then went to other parts of America, especially over to Hollywood. And he's going to make something happen so great in the very center of America where that poured down first. He's not forgetting, that's what he told me. He had me go there and declare stuff into the atmosphere, into the ground. And I've been to Azusa Street, and that staircase, that portal that was open during all that stuff, is still there. It is still there. And so God's going to do something very climatic and epic is his word he uses. So, yeah, it's going to happen. It's going to be exciting.
Yeah.
I don't normally get this, but as I was sat here, I felt God say that he's going to start to birth ideas for films about some saints' lives, which will be done in such a good way that they'll win Academy Oscars and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. I've never had that before. But there's going to be a sudden influx of talent and vision and the special effects and everything like that, that people will be so drawn into the story because it's kind of a spiritual reality to it. And I saw Catherine Kuhlman's life there too, which was kind of crazy. But anyway, I just thought I'd share that because I never normally, we can maybe edit it.
No, you're right. You're right on. Just, I don't know if you saw my social media post just maybe last week. I said the Lord's leading us to start a full-blown movie production studio.
Oh, wow.
Company in Los Angeles. And we literally, within 1 hour, I probably had 100 emails from people that write, they act, they do editing, they do makeup, they do hair.
Awesome.
Everybody wanted to be involved. And we already had a couple, like my wife and I, we write, but we had already had a couple ideas for scripts. One of them is we're already kind of embarking on this, but a movie that's about William Seymour, but I'm talking Hollywood quality drama here.
Yeah, you know? Yeah,
I understand.
You know, yeah,
we're talking Dances with Wolves type stuff. Because actually, the editor for Dances with Wolves is coming to our meetings.
Nice.
But that quality, that stuff that wins awards. Because why in the world does the enemy get all the good stuff?
Right.
You know,
God's
You're
done
right.
with that. He's done with that. We're going to see the same special effects. The same.
You're right.
You know, because I'm telling you, Kat's right. When Hollywood starts to understand what happens in the spiritual realm,
yeah,
like the stuff that it does not even compare to what they have in those Hollywood movies.
No, it is. It has nothing. You can't even compare to
when that stuff starts to hit the screen.
The sci-fi stuff they have is literally nothing compared to reality in the unseen realm. And the unseen realm has been there all along, and that is the main missing thing. And I've had producers already approach me. They want me to write something about the spirit realm. I said, I'm not writing anything unless God asked me to. I already have two trilogies.
Wow.
Two trilogies. I mean, epic, epic movies that God will have angels coming in and out during the movies into the theaters. He's going to engage. He's engaging with those who are brave and bold enough and wild enough, because you know the passionately violent take it by force from the enemy. That's a spiritual violence on the inside of us. We passionately take it from him. And because we're willing to engage with God like that, heaven's pouring into these movies. There'll be things not even written in that will become part of the script and the scenes. And even the movie as it's being shown, people will literally begin to see the spirit realm, like in
That's
reality,
so
not just what's on the screen, but in reality.
That's so good. That's so good. You know, Kat, the movie that you were in that I filmed, the documentary From Death, I really believe that, you know, because I never do anything unless God tells me to do it. I learned that a long time ago. If I try to do something in my own power, I'm going to screw it up.
Yeah, it's a mess.
And what he showed me was there's a difference between a good idea and a God idea.
You're
something
right.
It can be a good idea, but it doesn't mean it's God's idea.
Oh, I like God ideas.
Right. You know, and so, but he showed me at that movie, because we're doing a Hollywood movie premiere, and I think, unfortunately, I think you're going to be on a cruise at the time, July the 25th. I think
yeah, I'll be in the British Isles, because London is another thing he's taking, like
Amen.
Korea, Hollywood, and England, but right now he's working on London. These
yeah,
are three major things he's working
with
on.
With friends of mine, I think Sharon and Michael Hooten is who you do your cruise with, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I know them. I preach at their church, and I'm actually doing a cruise with, I think, Jennifer LeClaire in 2020. But anyway, he showed me, see, we have Hollywood actors, like, Hollywood actors are coming to this thing. You know, people have reached out, Christians, but I saw angels coming into that movie theater in Hollywood during that premiere.
Yeah.
And it's so neat how God wants to engage us like that.
Yeah,
and
isn't it?
It's such a blessing. No, he loves us that much to do those things.
Yeah. And I think of myself as his daughter, number one, but besides any other titles that he himself has given me, my favorite one is that I'm his daughter. And I'm here for my father. I'm here for my father because of my father, because of his son. And that's what my life is for. And when he has people like that who they don't even, sin is not even in their vocabulary. They despise evil. The thing in the Bible says you can despise is evil. And so I despise any evil, no matter where it comes from. I don't allow it near me. I won't have it in a room with me, a restaurant, a hotel. I drive it out as I'm going in. I'm not tolerating it. I don't have to.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, I wanted to tell you something funny. So when I don't know if you remember. So the meeting I met you at was Jeff Jansen. I've known Jeff Jansen for quite a while. But
yes.
I hadn't ever really followed you, because when I met Jeff, I was actually pretty skeptical of the supernatural. I was what I called spirit-filled light.
Yeah.
You know? And or closet charismatic type of thing. You know? And so when I was at that 3 days of meetings, I was like, man, this lady is crazy. You know, I just didn't know what I thought about it. What's funny is back right around the time I met Jeff, I received this impartation of this particular anointing, and this freaks some people out. It won't freak you out, but when I'm with people that are anointed, I can taste their anointing. I can taste if they're anointed or not.
Yes.
And if they're not anointed, it's like a bad taste.
A bad taste, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a good taste. And apparently Bob Jones had that same thing, is what I heard later. But
yeah.
Anyway, up until the point where we sat in the room and did the interview, I still was skeptical. I'm like, I don't know about this lady. And when you walked in and we did the interview, I came home, I said, well, she is super, super anointed. And so that's when I started taking it serious, you know, like, just, you know, I mean, the thing is, why not? Why not is heaven, you know, like that, you know, why can't it be like that? You know, mm-hmm. It's like, you know, it just, it's heaven. It's, you know, it's supernatural. We put even what we think of God in a box.
And, yeah, he's not in a box.
And put boundaries on him. And it just blew me away, because in that moment, my mind opened up to, wow, there's a whole nother realm of this that I haven't even experienced. And I've actually talked about this same experience mm-hmm. with you, and how my eyes were kind of open to another realm of what heaven is. I talk about it at my meetings a lot. I'm like, look, you know, when I say I want to go to where crazy is and see what's on the other side, I even say, well, Kat Kerr's over there somewhere. She's over there, you know, and that's what it takes. It's like, because if he is truly the God that's more than our imagination, I can imagine some crazy stuff.
Yeah.
So if he's more than what we can imagine, where do, you know, there is no limit.
There is no limit to it. That's why he says all things are possible with him. He really means that. It has to do with the heart of the person, their desire. And I remember God said to me one time in a conversation that we were having, he said, you know, everything you have or want is my desire. You are always saying, I want what you desire. I want your desires to be my desires. And he said, well, your desires have already become that, but I want you yourself now to begin to have your own desires of what you want to create, what you yourself from you. And your desires, he said, you have to have a desire to engage in the spirit realm for me, okay. With me. He said, and that's when things will even more accelerate than what I'm already doing. And he said, so I want to hear what your desires are. What is it you want to produce from what I put in you? And not just because you want to have mine, he said, but you have to reach a point in your own existence that you begin to have desires that you want to see fulfilled. Of course, it's always going to be for him, but it's not necessarily him telling me all the time. He said, I raise you up to a certain point. I never let you go, but my whole expectation is for you to be like me. That's what he said.
That's good.
He said, I want you to be like me. I want you to be just like my son. I want you to be like Holy Spirit. That's what I meant in Genesis. when I said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, which is the way they operate, he said, that's what I want to hear coming from you. So from that time, I started saying every day when I woke up, I would passionately say, I want to be just like you. I want to look like you, sound like you, be like you. And I would just feel the presence and the pleasure and the delight coming from him to me, because I ran with it. I grabbed it. And he wanted me to actually say that stuff and then step out. When I started doing that, I started walking on air. It was crazy. I started having the rainbow being seen coming in and out of my body. I've had people say my eyes look like flames of fire. All these are things that he does. This is part of how he operates. He has no toleration of evil. And even in the Lord, some of his likenesses and the way he operate, I began to experience those. But that didn't happen until I said it. And I had that passion for it. And he said, this is how I wanted all of my children to feel and think just like that. That they don't have to be below. They were made a little lower than us. They weren't made lower than the angels. They were made a little bit lower than us. And so that's what I'm running after right now, that I want to be just like them. Literally, I don't care if people see me with foreheads, you know. You know, I don't care if they see me walking in the room through the wall as a lion, and then it's me. I mean, I literally am expecting that. You have to have that desire, and that makes your faith grow, and I literally expect it to happen. So
I tell people all the time, I'm like, look, if you read the real historical stories of the first century church,
they did those crazy things.
That these people were doing crazy stuff like flying.
Yes. Oh, flying is another big thing.
And I keep telling people, like, look, one day I'm going to fly.
Yay!
And I believe, you know.
And guess what? You will. You will fly.
Right. You know, it's if we're co-laborers, it also means that we're co-creators.
You are right.
You know, so he wants us to create what's within us. Imagination. If we could get a hold of the fact that if we have the mind of Christ and he has placed our desires within us,
that's right,
even our creativity and our imagination, he wants to be co-creators. And when we do healing meetings and things like that, that's where I come from. I come from that, look, I'm a co-creator with him.
That's
right. So we can see health created. We can see wealth created. We can see creativity created. You know, it's good.
Even healing meetings are going to begin to change. They won't be done like they were in the past. They really won't. It's going to come from that perspective, because he actually makes me call myself a creator. So you are right where he wants you to be. You're hearing very correctly. He says, I want you to call yourself a commander, because my son commanded the host and you're a co-commander. He said, you were made to be a commander. You're made to be a creator. And so he says those things. He says those things. That's his desire, is for us to desire that. Forget about sin. Who cares about sin? There's no place in me for sin. I'm not wasting my life on that. You know, I'm running after the high things of God. And that's where we are. We really are seated in heavenly places, but we don't always operate from that place, because people can't see themselves there. But they are literally seated there. When you become a believer, that's part of what he does. He takes a layer of your soul that looks like you, and he literally seats it in heaven. And we need to understand that's who we are. We're not this low, forgotten, beat up, sorry thing that has no power, no authority, no money, no life, nothing. We're barely existing, and yet we're supposed to be like him. We're supposed to live. We're not supposed to die and give up. We're supposed to live and be just like him.
That's so good. That's good.
And when Hollywood begins to see that coming from true believers who are living right, they're going to know this stuff is real, this stuff is true, and the hunger is going to begin to explode in them for not the fake and the false, but they can still use the gift God gave them, but they can use it with light, with the light of God, not the darkness.
So good. That's real good.
Okay, guys. Well, I think at some point we should do like a Facebook Live split screen thing and follow up about this, because I was really feeling God on the whole Hollywood thing.
Yes. I'm excited.
Yeah. So anything else anybody wants to say?
I just want to say about the Hollywood thing, and maybe we can talk about this on the follow-up, was the Lord started speaking to me, and I actually did a kind of a live teaching on it a while back, but it's called Hollywood, Government, and the Pulpit. And Kat had mentioned earlier about how, just how people are being influenced. And so what the Lord had showed me was that Hollywood influences the government.
Yeah.
And then the government influences the pulpit. And what most people are thinking about when they go to church, they only think about God on Sunday morning.
That's right.
I call that the 10 a.m. Jesus.
Yes.
When God wants us to focus on him every hour of the day, every minute of the day, every day of the week. And so what's happened is even in the pulpit has been influenced by Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have people trying to keep up with the Joneses and they're selling out to things like, you know, there was a popular church on New Year's Eve that had the Naked Indian or the Naked Cowboy come and do worship on stage. And I'm just like, that's being influenced by culture, not influencing culture.
Yeah.
We are supposed to be influencing culture.
That's right.
I think it's an important conversation to have, and I'd love to have a follow-up to that stuff for sure.
Ooh, sounds good.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
All right, guys, so any last words, Kat, or anything?
Well, I just wanted to clear over anybody who's going to be hearing this that don't limit God. But don't limit yourself either. Don't stay in that little box that makes you think you're nothing. Those are lies from hell. You were created by God to be great for him and with him. You just can't leave him out. And you can't just save one day for him, all right? When Christ died on the cross, he didn't consider anything else. He considered you being with him throughout all of eternity. I've seen parts of eternity. You don't want to miss it, okay? Because the other option, you don't want that either. Satan only gets lakeside property, and that's going to be burning. So you don't want to go there, right? So make sure you give yourself fully to God and surrender willingly whatever he asks, because you're never going to miss it when you give yourself to God. He is the more. He wants you to be the more. But you can't be that more unless you're doing it with him. So God, I declare, open their hearts, their minds. Give them a burning desire to know you. Let them have encounters with you. Let your presence flood their life, whether it's at work, in their car, walking down the street. God, this is what you have for us. This is what's coming, that your glory will touch the whole earth, that your presence will be everywhere, that this is a great time to be alive. It's not the end. This is only the beginning of something great on this earth. It's called Jesus Christ and being with him and living for him in this time. So God, I declare this is your will and they need to have it your way, not their way. I thank you, God, for opening these doors and the windows of heaven wide open and let heaven flood down to this earth. And it will be on earth as it is in heaven. And Satan will be crushed and pushed back for generations for us to rule and reign with Christ. And we are over the weather, not under the weather. We are over the enemy. We are not under him. We are not his doormat. He is the doormat. So thank you, God, for opening up the gifts you've put in people, but give them a desire to use it for the light and dispel and crush the darkness. And thank you, Father, for blessing my brother in Jesus' name by opening many doors and many bank accounts, God, because all the money's yours anyway. We're your children. We get to enjoy it. So thank you, God, for the wealth of the wicked to be given to the just and the righteous. And he needs a lot to do what you're sending him to do. And when you give the commission, you give the provision. So thank you, God, for health and wealth that he will walk in it, God, as a demonstration for you. And may the host go with him.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I agree. Amen. Well, thanks, guys. I appreciate it. I love you all.
So that was an awesome time with Kat and Derek, and I hope you guys all enjoyed it. But before we go, we are going to have someone share a little bit about some of our Heaven Culture products that are available. And here you go.
Oh, Okay, the product update is the calendars. The Host of Heaven calendar is called the Host Undercover, but what this calendar does is show you hosts that have never been shown before on a calendar. So you're like participating in a first. And so we just wanted to remind you that we do have calendars. They're $24. That includes shipping and handling. And you can call in on 904-527-1943 or go to revealingheaven.com and press on store and you can order your calendars.